Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time again, another episode of Sports Card Live. We take a magnifying glass to the sports card industry, news, reviews, thoughts, the occasional tangents, and free stuff. Hosted by Dan Rage, Ryan, and Doug Fresh. Boom!
Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another edition of Sport Live. August 20th, we're chilling. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk Panini versus Topps early on preseason football. Who comes out the winner on early on products for football? We got some NBA previews coming up. We're going to talk about some rookies for NFL, all kinds of stuff. We're going to be joined by Rich Layton from Layton Sports Cards here soon. Ryan, what's going down, man?
Not much, dude. Just hanging out. Got a baseball game tonight and, living the life, I guess you could say.
Nice. Living the dream.
I don't know.
Well, you know, it's been some crazy stuff going on. All I got to say is F the media. And the immortal words of, I don't know if he's an immortal yet, but immortal words of, we F the media. Who needs the media? You know, thought he would know the whole thing.
F the media.
But, yeah, we got another exciting show lined up here. Lots of stuff been going on, lots of releases. We're in, like, the heavy point of releases for sports cards. I mean, you got football hitting, you know, Topps, Panini coming out with products, Leaf coming out with products, baseball's in full swing, 13, 14 basketball's around the corner, but Panini's still putting out 12, 13 basketball products. So, lots of stuff going down. Hockey, prime hockey comes up next week, so we're going to do a little preview on that, our take. That stuff looks pretty nice with some Dominion packs in there. Yeah, it's pretty good. Let's talk some NFL. What games have you watched, Ryan, that you've seen some rookies that have kind of standed out so far?
I try to watch the first, like, couple series of, you know, when the starters are in.
Right.
And then I kind of check out of the preseason games. So, I've heard some good things about Marcus Wheaton, a receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot of people talking about him, actually, as a potential guy who's going to get opportunities and potentially put up some numbers. Tyler Eifert of the Bengals, tight end, heard some decent things about him. Another guy who's probably not going to be that collectible, but fantasy-wise, could be an option there. Giovanni Bernard, another Bengals guy, running back. I've heard some good things, watched him play a little bit. I know that E.J. Manuel is hurt and out for the rest of the preseason. Geno Smith is hurt. So that's kind of sucks that we haven't got to see a couple of the first two quarterbacks drafted, that we haven't been able to see them kind of play that much. Although E.J. Manuel played a little bit, he looked pretty decent, you know. So we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, when the big lights come on, the grown men come out, and we'll see what happens. But I think so far so good. There hasn't been a devastating injury to any of these rookies, so I think that's a good thing.
No. Yeah, hey, man. Angels, like, correct me if I'm wrong, I think for 15 or like 10 for 12, he had a pretty good completion ratio. I know he injured somewhat, and he may not play much of the rest of the preseason, but and they said that kid was kind of raw to begin with, so if he's coming out and he's got a good completion ratio, granted it is preseason, but you know, there may be some high hopes for that guy coming up, because I mean, Kevin Cobb probably won't hold down the job for very long, so
no way.
The Niners traded AJ Jenkins for who's the kid from Kansas City that they traded? Baldwin. They traded him.
Yeah.
Jonathan Baldwin. So it's some kind of busts, just traded sides, maybe new places, new faces, get these guys going. I'm a little bummed out. I had an AJ Jenkins PC going and, you know, drafted first round last year. And, you know, I mean, he's been looking bad in practices, dropped the ball last year in the playoffs. And, they didn't really give that guy much of a chance, and now he's in KC with Alex Smith reunited. I wish I had a little sound clip reunited, but he just fools him. I think that was his problem, but maybe he does good for the Niners. Maybe talk about a guy that breaks out, or you can get stuff for cheap for Jonathan Baldwin. The Niners need a guy opposite Anquan Boldin, and I don't know if it's going to be him or Colley or what, but kind of an interesting trade.
I've always liked Jonathan Baldwin for some reason. The couple times he's been on the field and actually played, he's a bigger guy. He's not a quick guy like A.J. Jenkins was. So I don't know. Both guys will probably have nothing careers, but I like it better for Jonathan Baldwin because he's coming to a winning organization. They're probably going to use him if he's healthy. Hopefully it works out for him. I always liked the way he played, and he was physical and those type of things. So we'll see what happens to him.
Yeah, I mean, there's some interesting for the card market. It's like Monty Ball's cards obviously are selling probably more than they should right now. I mean, maybe rightfully so. But between Monty Ball and Roman, those guys, they use Ball. One of those guys, Peyton Manning's offenses, there tends to be a guy that breaks out there. I mean, do you invest in Monty Ball and pay a premium, or do you get some Ronnie Hillman on the cheap and possibly, you know, really raise your investment if this guy comes out and gets a couple hundred-yard games? I mean, so interesting scenario with Denver.
It is, and you know what? They have several running backs there. No Sean Moreno's still a factor there. Ronnie Hillman is probably a fourth guy. I'd be very careful with Monty Ball or expecting huge things out of him. I'd be very, especially in fantasy-wise or even the card market, I would maybe wait for it to play out a little bit because Peyton's going to be throwing the ball a lot. Well, I think they are going to run the ball a lot. I think it's going to be a split carry situation. I don't think they're going to give a rookie 25 carries
right.
a game. You know, I'm thinking more like 15 maybe if it all goes well for him. So I think there's other running backs out there. What I would do is actually spread the love around since a lot of these guys' cards aren't that expensive compared to maybe some other guys. Spread the love around. What about Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh? You've got Marcus Lattimore, who's essentially a redshirt in San Francisco. You could wait all year on his cards, basically. I mean,
yep.
His cards would be dirt cheap. Do a little research. Eddie Lacy's going to be a little more expensive because of the Alabama thing. So, Jonathan Franklin, though, you could bet on Jonathan Franklin, his teammate in Green Bay, breaking out and actually being the guy that does well there. So, lots of ways you can play it this year. I don't think, aside from the quarterbacks, these cards can't be that expensive.
No.
So you should be able to get in there, and everybody's kind of mid-priced right now, low to mid-priced. Somebody like Marcus Lattimore, I would actually wait on him because nothing he can do is going to raise the value of his cards, and there's just going to be more cards coming out.
Right.
The supply is just going to get flooded, so you're going to be able to pick up autographs maybe for a dollar or two at some point, some really cheap autographs, maybe sticker autographs, but his stuff's going to be dirt cheap. So I would look into there's going to be other players that are just the same way. That's just one example. So really interesting year if you are into football cards and you do know a thing or two about the sport or a particular player or a particular team, bet, gamble, go buy some cards. You know, maybe not right now, but as the supply continues to be put out there by these companies, find the good ones and go buy them.
Yeah, and it's – I've been actually watching a lot of this stuff because, I mean, not watching games, but I've been looking at stats because this is the first year I actually joined a $1,500 fantasy football championship league. Me and Dan kind of co-owning this team. So we'll see if we just kind of get, you know, schooled on this league or not, but, you know, tax write-off. But we went ahead and joined it. So I've been doing a lot of, you know, studying up on some of these teams. I got SiriusXM in my car, so there's a fantasy football little radio program. And so I've been hearing a lot about, and you mentioned, and he is so far a camp runner to be the number one guy. And supposedly there's a guy, I think his name is DeJuan Blair, who's second, and then John Franklin is behind. So John Franklin will definitely make it, but supposedly Eddie Lacy, I guess he caught a pass for 11 yards in one of the preseason games. I think he averaged like 6 yards a carry. So far that guy may be, I mean, his stuff isn't cheap right now, but he looks like he could emerge as the early favorite to be like a Trent Richardson from last year. Trent Richardson didn't catch a lot of passes, but, you know, a guy that's value and a guy that sells well. So Eddie Lacy, DeAndre Hopkins is supposedly 2 for 22. They're saying early on he's impressing in Texans camp, and, you know, you're all alongside Andre Johnson, so you're going to take away a little bit of coverage from Andre Johnson. He may get some looks. There's always that Schaub situation, as Kevin in our box break room would say, burn the Schaub. But, you know, DeAndre Hopkins might be a guy. Jadard Robinson is getting carries. He's getting lining up through that type of guy. Definitely some interesting thing going on with these rookies. A lot of these stats are skewed because these rookies a lot to make sure they're going to be able to make the roster. So I definitely wouldn't wait preseason too much, but it's going to be interesting how it pans out. Looks like we got Rich on the line. So, Rich, what's going on, buddy?
How's it going, guys?
Not much, man. What's new with you?
Oh, man. Just getting ready for a big release day tomorrow. We got 2013 Topps Football. We got the in-store promotion that Topps does for hobby shops with the kickoff packs. Just getting prepped and ready for that. You know, a lot of good things, man. A lot of good things. A lot of good, fun case breaks going to be going on tomorrow night. So just trying to stay ahead of the curve, buddy.
Definitely. Tell us a little bit about this kickoff thing, because since you have a shop, we're not privy to get this stuff. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Topps kickoff program.
Okay, so basically what Topps is doing this year, they're doing for hobby shops, they're basically giving you X amount of packs. I don't know how many packs they're going to send us until they get here.
Right.
But if a customer purchases, 18 packs. I don't know who goes into a hobby shop and orders 18 packs, but if you buy 18 packs of regular Topps football, you get one pack that has four exclusive cards in it from this, apparently, I don't know if it's a different than the regular football cards, but it's like they call it a Topps 2013 kickoff pack that has four exclusive cards. So if you buy one box, you get two packs. I don't know why they advertise it as you get one for 18 and two for a box, because there's 36 packs in a box, but it's not like you get three if you buy a box, but you get two. So that's about it. You do have these randomly inserted golden tickets, as they call them, which I know somebody who uses that as well. We won't go there right now. But golden tickets get you it is a particular set they made. So it actually has an NFL logo. It says kickoff on the side, and it's for 2013 football. It's a sticker auto. It basically looks just like the regular Topps cards coming out, the regular Topps football cards, except it says kickoff on the side. So it's basically a sub-autograph set that they made as a promo. So you got a chance to get an autograph card or a golden ticket kickoff card, which gets you the whole set of 2013 Topps football autograph rookie cards.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know how random or how rare those cards are, but it's a redemption card, so good luck with that.
The Andrew Luck last year, I think they did the same thing last year, if I'm not mistaken. I think the Andrew Luck autographs in there were numbered to like 10 or so. I thought I remember seeing one for
yeah,
sale.
Yeah, in the promo pictures, they don't show any kind of numbering or anything like that. It's just... Yeah. You know, it's just a plain, it just looks like a base card with a sticker across the front.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
interesting little
we'll
promo.
See.
So we'll start to see. Hopefully, you know, and I know you're not going to do it, but I know last year they were people complaining that hobby shops are basically already had them on eBay. I haven't looked on eBay. There may be some up there, but, you know, there's some guys that just trying to capitalize off of it. I know, obviously, we know you, and you're not doing that, but I hope to give it to the customers, you know, so.
I hope so, too. They run into this problem all the time. Whenever they give hobby shops, I mean, who am I to speak on behalf of all the hobby shop owners, but, you know, from experience as being the customer, the consumer, you know, and also now being the owner, you know, I've seen it from both sides. You know, there's a lot of trust that has to be passed off, you know. They're going to send you this box of goodies and promo stuff, so, you know, it's up to you to divvy it out for them. You know, you're acting as a almost a distributor for Tops when you do this kind of thing. So hopefully they catch wind of people doing these kind of things and they put a stop to it. You know, I know Panini had this the same problem with Father's Day and Black Friday. They send out the packs to these guys and then they end up opening them all. So,
yeah,
you know, hopefully their conscience gets the better of them. Hopefully the packs they open have nothing in them and it serves them right.
Definitely. Well, on the Tops note, I want to start a segment that, and I need to make some creative theme music for this segment, but it's called Twitter Fail of the Week. And I was kind of going through some Tops tweets the other day and I ran across this and I don't know why. You guys may know where I'm going with this, but there was a picture of a previous one, like they do before.
Hold on, you cut now. Fire's hot. You cut now.
Okay. Let me go ahead and.
I'm trying to distort you, man. It's tough. They knew you were talking negative, and they literally like are coming through the radio waves and the Skype waves and like distorting.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, so to basically what happened was is they're going ahead and tweeting out pictures of Tops, you know, football, jumbo, and hobby for that matter. And there's a photo of an EJ Manuel card, which is a black board EJ Manuel card, which I think they're numbered to 50 or whatever, right? And the Tops guy says, all black everything.
Wow.
So that's the
black
fail of the week.
He is black.
But most people don't know that. And so
right.
A few people
right.
that kind of took offense to his tweet, and they were like, come on, man, why you got to bring race into this? I mean, the only thing I noticed on the card of, you know, that was black was the black border and the black athlete. So they're not like there's a black pen signature or anything like that. So I'm just not sure. And then he referenced the Lupe Fiasco song that went all black everything, and that's how he backed it up. And he said, you know, I know people on Twitter take things, you know, obviously offensive, and they maybe take things too far, but I just, as a company, I probably wouldn't tweet out all black everything.
Unreal.
That's what happens when you got kids running here. Yeah. You got kids. I mean, I don't know how old he is. He's a nice guy. I've talked to him. He's a nice guy. I mean, they're lucky I wasn't running the account when I was 23, 24 years old, however old he was. I mean, my God, Twitter would have shut the account down. Some of the things I would have said at customers or people or, you know, so, you know, that's what happens when you got youngsters. Not that the guy, and I can't even remember his name. I mean, you know, I can't even remember the guy's name.
I think it's Mark Abbott.
Mark, that guy. Oh, yeah, my buddy Mark Sapir. You know, not that he was any better, to be perfectly honest. So I don't mind the rap reference so much as long as that other guy, Mark, stays off the Twitter.
Right. I mean, a lot of people don't know that he is an African-American, so they probably didn't get the reference. And you know how people get on Twitter, but I just I thought it was funny that they tweeted it out that way. I mean, I could understand if it was like Panini has a black, you know, the Panini Black product, and they had a black pen or something that was all black. That would make more sense. But since it was a black bordered card and a black athlete, it just I don't I you know that's just my take on it. So It was just Twitter fail of the week, I thought. So, and if you guys listening, if you see some more Twitter fails, I don't want to call anybody out. It's easy to call out Tops. I may not call out certain people, but if you guys find Twitter fails, go ahead and send them, or, you know, send them to our email or DM us or something, or forward it or retweet it so that we can see it, and we'll go ahead and mention it on the show. Because I think that's, some of this stuff's pretty entertaining. I can get caught up on Twitter just reading stuff. I mean, I could literally just go through there and just read some of the fights that people get in. I mean, Leaf, Brian Gray, and Mark Sapir, and Mark Sapir is no longer with Tops, but he still bleeds Tops blue or Tops red, whatever you would call it. And they get into some arguments and stuff about licensing, and it's an entertaining read. Or Chris Olds, for that matter, gets into this, you know, things with people, and it's an entertaining read. So if you guys see anything on there that was worth mentioning or you find hilarious, or even if Mojo Break misspells something or says, you know, Matt Holliday's on the Angels or something like I've done before, go ahead and tweet out. So,
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I wanted to move into Panini versus Topps products so far. We're early on. There's only been about three or four releases from each company. I wanted to get everybody's take so far. I have my take. There's been Score, there's been Prestige, there's been Elite, there's been Momentum for Panini. For Topps, there's been Bowman, there's been Inception, there's been Finest. So far, Rich, what do you think? What are you seeing out of both camps? What do you like? What do you not like?
Oh, man. Why do you always have to pick on me first?
Well, because I can collect my thoughts afterwards. That's why I put you on the spot.
Yeah, exactly. You just want to counterpoint what I'm going to say, don't you?
So,
this is tough. Both have pluses, both have minuses in my book. As you can recall from the summit, as we all three of us were there, this was actually brought up at the summit floor. There was belief that, you know, with group breaks and everything, that, you know, people would struggle to sell 2013 football due to the lack of interest, the lack of rookie class, et cetera, which has proven to not be true whatsoever. I almost think group breaks have actually been thriving because of 2013 football, believe it or not. Topps Finest has gone up on the secondary market. Did not expect that to happen. I didn't think it would go down. I thought it would stay the same. Being that that's pretty much your newest football release, it's hot. People want it, and the cards are selling on eBay and everywhere else in the secondary market. I mean, the cards are moving. They may not be bringing premium dollars, but they're bringing in dollars nonetheless. They're not sitting. So in terms of the most recent releases, Finest is definitely, I think that's one of the better ones out there right now. Now, as for Panini, their first three releases of the year, in my opinion, were outstanding. With Score Football, with Elite Football, with Prestige Football, there were zero redemptions. Zero.
Right.
No one can say that. No one can say that. Not one manufacturer in the world can say that about their football releases. They had zero redemptions. None. That is impressive to me. I don't even care what the product looks like at that point. When you tell me that there are no redemptions, it's a brand new product, brand new season, brand new everything, and you have no redemption cards and there's live autos in it, that blows me away. The amount of work that they put into that to get everybody to sign, get everything done on time, to me, that catapults them above and beyond everybody else. We opened a case of Finest Football for the fun of it. For me and Brian, our shop manager, you guys know him as Ripka. He opened one side, I opened the other. In one side of his case, he had four redemptions, four, in four boxes. Three of them were for Demaryius Thomas. Same guy, same card.
Right.
That's not a joke. I mean, that to me, that would never happen in a Panini case. So, you know, that it just goes back to the beginning, like we've always talked about with Topps Collation, Panini Collation. I mean, the two aren't even comparable. Topps cards, obviously, they're going to sell better. They always have. They have the brand recognition. It's Coke versus Pepsi. You know, it really is. It's brand recognition. People are buying the Topps cards. If so facto, it drives the product up. It's a tough battle on Panini's part. They work really hard to compete with these guys. They put out a superior product, and yet, you know, we're talking about, oh, Momentum Football is garbage, and it's gone down, and this and that and the other thing. So, you know, it's a very hard battle. It's a hard decision. It's hard for everybody. Panini works really hard to compete with these guys, and I feel like they're not getting the credit that they deserve, in terms of the overall product releases. I maybe I'm a little off base. I don't know, but that's my personal feelings on the matter.
And I do agree with you to a certain extent. The design for Momentum was improved 100%. I love Score. I guess it's because I didn't expect much from Score. Score came out, and I was like, okay, great. We're going to get a couple seventh-round autos, and we're going to call it a day. That's what we're going to get. But, no, it was a lot more inserts. I did love Score. And people are going to hate me for saying this because I am a Panini guy. I do, at the end of the day, I do like Panini just because of the way they run their company. But I think I got to give the preseason, if this is what we're going to call it, maybe we'll do a first quarter review and, second quarter review and all the way down to the end of the game, who won. But I think so far, I think Topps is winning. Just my opinion. You guys are going to light up the chat right now. Everybody's going to say, screw you, Doug. But I think so far with Finest, Inception, and Bowman wasn't the greatest, but I just think Finest and Inception have been off the charts so far. I mean, they've been creating more buzz alone. Yes, the Collation sucks when it comes to Topps. The Collation is bad, but on the flip side of that, I don't know. Panini, you will not get a crazy epic case. It will always be in the middle. But Topps, you can pull that epic case. Like last year when we had Sterling, when we got two Andrew Lux, two RG3s, and a Russell Wilson in one case. It was, like, insane. I know for every one of those cases, there's three dud cases. But I guess I've become more of a card snob where I like to be – the unexpected is better for me. If something comes out as unexpected, that's just crazy. It's like, wow, this is insane. So I think you have more of that with Topps than you have with Panini. But all around for group breaks, I think Momentum was good. 50 hits in a case, you can't complain about that. I just wish with Momentum there was more bets in it as opposed to last year. But the designs on the RPA, yes, RPAs were much better than 2012. I don't think they needed to insert as many base cards as they did. Last year there was just two base cards a pack. I think that was perfect. It's a hit-based product. Why put in more base cards? People don't collect base when it comes to football, really, unless you're talking about flagship Topps. People collect that base. But when it comes to base in a 10-hit product, people just shy. I mean, they might as well just throw them against the wall or something. They're not really anything to call home to. I mean, show me one collector out there who's collecting the Momentum base set, and there's probably not one. So, I mean, that's my take. There's been four releases to three. Bowman wasn't the greatest. It was on card. It was rushed. They lost against Score. Score beat Bowman, hands down. On card.
People were so in love with those parallels out of the gate, and then it just got so watered down. People realized how many boxes of Bowman were still out there, and they're trying to sell their cards number to $2.99 and $4.99, and they're getting a nickel. You know what I mean? So what's the point of having a parallel if there's 26 versions of it, that Bowman was just ridiculous.
And I don't know what we can do to get resale value up on Panini, because I just typed in right now, sold auctions, 2013 football, it's all Topps. It's there's a Bowman Chrome Super Fractor of Monty Ball that sold for $1,500. There's a 101 Mike Glennon patch that was a best offer accepted. This guy wanted $5,000, probably got $1,000. Tavon Austin Super Fractor sold for $1,000. Yep. Geno Smith with bids, Nike Swish logo from Inception, sold for $900.
EJ Manuel, yep. 3 of 5, sold for $860. I mean, I can't even I have to scroll way down to see anything from Panini. So I think that's I mean, how do we figure out what makes Panini football or anything Panini besides National Treasures sell well on the secondary market? I mean, what is it going to take?
I think, well, first off, all the releases so far have been all base product driven other than Momentum. And as everybody
right.
well knows, Momentum, it has its place. Momentum has its place. There's a reason for Momentum. There's a reason it exists. You know, it for the people that like to open a pack and get a hit, it's more, I think, in my opinion, I think Momentum is built for hobby shops. It is built for a hobby shop. It's not really meant for group breakers. It's perfect for us to throw in a mixer because we can say, hey, there's 10 more hits in this mixer. But if you
right.
go into a hobby shop and there's a guy and he's got a box of Momentum open and there's 10 packs and there's 10 hits, well, guess what? You know what I mean? It's easy to sell a pack of those cards if you know you're going to get an auto or a relic. You know it. It's guaranteed. Every single pack's going to
sure.
have a hit. So, I mean, for a hobby shop to put out a box of those for packs, people jump all over them. I mean, we sold 3 boxes just in packs. Just from the shop. We just sat them out. They sold. And we sat out another one. It sold, you know. And I think that, you know, Elite is very, it's very base-driven. Rookies and Stars, again, very base-driven. Score Football, we're extremely base-driven. Once they get, their timing is different, Topps and Panini. They don't, Panini doesn't put out a product that is meant to really compete with Inception Football. When Topps puts out Inception Football, they have different timings and patterns to when their releases are, you know.
Right.
Except for the super high end, the NTs are meant to battle with the Sterlings and stuff like that. I get that. That's marketing 101. Their best products are always going to come out right around when the other best company's best product is going to come out. You know, it's just right now. I feel like it's just almost unfair. Because Topps front-loaded the crap out of Finest and Inception and stuff like that. They front-loaded the crap out of it. So you're getting to see all these hits coming out. Yet as you rip through more Panini product, you're getting to see these bigger cards starting to come out all of a sudden. So I feel like it's a little unbalanced. Like Panini has put out these base-driven products that you haven't really fully seen the potential of because there's just, honestly... And we've talked about this, Doug. I think they tend to overproduce them a little bit. If they put less money into the base cards and put more money into the actual hits and relics and stuff like that and the overall product value, I think then they would jump up. I mean, every time Panini puts out a high-end product, every time it goes up and it stays up. Every single time. NT baseball, NT football, NT basketball, all their National Treasure stuff. They're now coming out with high-end product that's just below that. That stuff's going to go up too. Whenever they take their time and focus on a project and it's a high-end to just below high-end product, it does very well. So,
right.
you know, that's, you know, I guess that's, you know, there's proof in the pudding. Absolutely. You know, that when they want to compete with a high-end product, they do very well, if not better than anybody else out there.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, what we also got to remind everybody, too, is that Panini is still like a baby company. I mean, they got the license in 2009, so they're still in a trial and error period.
Oh, yes.
You know, whether it's, you know, Topps has been around. I mean, obviously it's changed hands and there's different CEOs and stuff. But it's like the cagey veteran that knows how to hit a fastball or knows how to hit a curveball compared to the rookie who's swinging away at things. And I think that's what's going on with Panini is they're sticking their neck out there and they're trying new things and they're seeing what hits and what doesn't. And maybe five years down the line, they're going to look at what research they have over the last 7 years of products or whatever, and they're going to know what works and what doesn't. And in an ever-changing hobby, they may overtake at the end of the day. I mean, they have the customer service. They have, you know, all the licenses. They take care of their customers and stuff like that. So we will see. I mean, maybe we will see a changing of the guards, but right now it's secondary market is owned by Topps early on. But you are right as far as Finest and Inception are more of a higher end compared to a Prestige and an Elite. So and that's maybe why we're seeing different prices on cards.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I mean when they come out with let's see. I mean Prominence would be the answer to Inception. It's almost built the same, although they did change the configuration for Prominence this year. We'll see how Prominence does this year. I think it's going to do well. You also have Certified Football coming out. Certified Football that's like their bread and butter. Certified Football always sells very well. People love that product, and it sells extremely well for us in the shop and online for our group breaks and everything. You have Playbook. That's just around the corner. It's only a month and a half away. Prism Football is going to be out in the middle of October. You know, you're going to see, their answers to what's out now come out later. So you're going to, I think we're going to have a totally different conversation. I agree with you, Doug. Obviously, secondary market's going to dictate popularity. That's what it is. It's a popularity contest. The more expensive, more popular cards or players out there are going to sell better than everything else. It's what it is, And when Topps is the popular brand, people are going to buy the popular card. That's what it is. It's almost like when you go to a show, and you show them that you got a super fractor, everybody's going to jump all over it. I mean, that's the way it is. It's the popular card versus, like you just said, and it was very well stated. I mean, they are the babies of the industry, if you will. I mean, or at least of the bigger guys. It's amazing that we're even talking about them in the same sentence as Topps. In my opinion, I think it's incredible. You're right. There is a changing of the guard on the horizon. I really feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at upcoming releases from Panini. I mean, Rookies and Stars, I mean, it's always been a solid product, but I don't think you're going to get $1,000 hits out of Rookies and Stars either. So you're right. We may have to wait for Prominence, which drops September, which in my opinion was a decent product last year, but I think missed the mark. I think this year, hopefully, it looks like early sell sheets. It looks like they've kind of redesigned some things, and hopefully that does well. And then I think the next Topps release, obviously, tomorrow is Flagship, Jumbo, Hobby, and then they got Topps Platinum coming out early September. So Platinum was really bad last year. Finest was bad last year, so we'll see.
You got Prime, too, early October Prime, and then – of course, everybody's favorite, just a few weeks after Prime, is going to be the lovely Triple Threads.
Yep, and actually they moved up Playbook this year. It's coming out October 2nd.
That's correct.
So that they're trying to get that right in the middle as opposed to at the end of the year. So we should see Playbook, see what that does. So it's exciting times, and I think early on right now, I think everybody will have to see once the season starts. Because let's face it, everybody right now is buying their team because they're hoping that the Denard Hopkins, that the Denard Robinson, the guy, these rookies are going to pan out, so they're buying them early. But guys like these guys start getting cut or they're fourth on the depth chart, you're going to start seeing a drop-off on some certain teams. But there also is going to be some emerging rookies at the same time. So right now, early on, I think that's why everybody's buying their team. So we'll see, four, five, 6 weeks in, who the guys are to buy by then. So it should be interesting on who we're going to be talking about 6 weeks from now as the Andrew Lucks of last year or the Trent Richardsons of last year. Which guys are going to, start having – and all it takes with football, that's the one thing. All it takes is one big game, and this guy is, like, all of a sudden selling well. Randall Cobb had a 100-yard kickoff return, I remember, in his first game, and everybody jumped on there, and his cards, like, tripled. So that's one thing that's the joy of football. So there's only 16 games. Baseball, it takes a couple weeks for these guys to heat up and sell on the secondary market. But with football, all it takes is one big game, one big touchdown, and these guys – cards skyrocket.
Well, in the baseball card market, all you have to do is be on the Baseball America hot sheet, and then that'll spike. But, you know, you're some 18-year-old kid who hit two home runs off some nobody and, you know, equivalent to a Little League park, and, your autographs are going to be worth $150. So, you know, you're right about the NFL, especially that first Thursday game. I can't even remember who it is this year. Usually the Super Bowl champ, so I think it's Ravens and somebody. I mean, whoever plays well in that game, his cards are going to go up. It could be Ray Rice. It could be somebody you never heard of, Torrey Smith, Tommy Streeter. I don't know. Is he still active on the Ravens? I mean, his autograph has got to be 99. So there's going to be so many opportunities this year for – I would encourage anybody who, like, either does fantasy sport or follows their team really closely to invest. When you see a young player, especially if their cards are cheap, I mean, not a first-round pick or a number one guy, but if you see a third, fourth, fifth-round pick, undrafted rookie who you're hearing good things about, who you maybe see play in the preseason or whatever, buy some of his cards because, like you said, all it takes is 1 week. They get an opportunity, and boom, your cards have now spiked in value. Maybe you sell it, maybe you don't, maybe you keep it. But, you know, there are going to be a lot of opportunities. And I think one good thing about this year is that you had Griffin and Luck, the price was already baked in to their autograph. Sure, Griffin's stuff got a little more expensive, and he caught up to Andrew Luck's autograph and exceeded those in a lot of cases. But those guys, their press pass autographs were $150, $200 out of the gate.
Right.
Some of these other guys, they're less expensive. And I'm not saying go buy some of these quarterbacks, especially somebody like Geno Smith or E.J. Manuel, who are unproven. But you can look at other guys. Look at what happened to Colin. Imagine if you were just buying Colin Kaepernick cards his rookie season. Those cards have had a shot up 300-400% at least. Even ones that aren't even that good. So, and I remember hearing about Colin Kaepernick all the time. Oh, this guy's the future, da, 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 all the time. And I'm not even a Niners fan. I'm just out here on the West Coast. So if you follow your team or you do fantasy sports, it could be across any sport, especially baseball with prospects and stuff. Go, you know, take the initiative that you hear this information and you kind of can confirm it and go take a $10, $20, $50 gamble on one of their cards, because inevitably, if they go do something, boom, their cards are going to explode. Whereas somebody like Andrew Luck, the price is already baked in. Andrew Luck's got to win a Super Bowl for his cards to go up a lot. You know, they got to make a deep run, or he's got to, you know, be the top in the stack, you know, one of the top guys for his stuff to really explode. But somebody like Mike Glennon or Landry Jones or some of these other kind of lesser-tier quarterbacks could all of a sudden be the next Colin Kaepernick or be the next guy that pops up. So a lot of opportunity this year.
It is.
Especially with this rookie class.
Well, and you look at guys like, look at 2010. You had a Victor Cruz who got injured in 2010, and he was not a rookie premier guy, so he was not in a lot of – he wasn't watered down in the beginning. So, and then in 2011 – He wasn't injured. And he started playing, and now people are going back trying to buy Victor Cruz. And this was a guy that you could have bought for, geez, $1, $2 autos that you could have turned around and sold for 50, 60, 70 easy. So, I mean, that's one thing. Start looking at guys like Kenny Stills. I mean, guys on last year, Nick Toon. Look for guys that are on teams that have, like, great quarterbacks. I mean, Drew Brees is going to throw the ball to somebody.
Just saying, Nick Toon just caught a touchdown pass, so I'm just going to throw that out there.
That's
too late. Probably too late. His stuff's probably gone up, I bet, a little bit.
Yep. And he was a guy that was hurt last year. He's almost like in the same situation as a Victor Cruz. Didn't really step on the field last year. Was in a ton of products. I remember pulling him, being like, oh, Nick Toon, throw out the Saints. All they got is Nick Toon. Throw him out. I don't want Nick Toon. But he may become the guy. I mean, Drew Brees has got to throw the ball to somebody, and it's always somebody different every year between the Lance Moore, the Devery Hendersons, the Robert Meachums, the Marques Colston. There's going to be somebody that emerges from that team. I mean, we all know Jimmy Graham gets a lot of targets, but who else? I mean, it could be Nick Toon very easily. So, I mean, that's a guy that I should be buying. I mean, Kenny Stills has got an opportunity there. So, you know, Kenny Vaccaro is not a rookie premier guy, but he's on the Saints too. So, you know, it's there's guys that you can dig deep and just, you know, spend Like right now, I can get Quentin Patton for pretty cheap. I'm thinking about investing in Quentin Patton because there's going to be somebody that's got to get some catches over in Niners camp. I mean, Bolden's going to get some catches, Vernon Davis is, but they just cut, you know, they just traded A.J. Jenkins. You know, they've got Austin Colley. I mean, there's going to be somebody that comes out, so.
I got two words for you. Aaron Dobson.
Homer.
Yeah, I've heard that name. Yeah, I've heard that name so far. Patriots wide receiver, right?
Yep.
Patriots wide receiver? Yeah, okay. What, draft a lot?
Yeah, baby.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that. I'm telling you, that's I started PCing him out of the gate. I like him. I watch him a little bit in college. I followed him not super closely, but closely. And I was expecting them pretty much to draft them out of the gate. He was one of three guys that was on their short board. And you knew they were going wide receiver or tight end. And they went wide receiver. They took Dobson. And I think he's in for a good year. The kid's smart. He's another Marshall guy. You know, he looks like another Randy Moss. He's got extremely great breakaway speed. He can run a route. He can catch the long ball. I really like this kid's future. I really do. I think he's going to be outstanding. And you can get, just like you were just saying, he's one of the, you know, premier guys, and, you know, his cards are going to sell, and they're not super cheap, but I have a feeling they could go up from where they are. So, you know, I feel like this is a season that I almost feel like we're collecting baseball cards. Like we're opening nonstop Bowman Chrome cases for this year. It's really strange. You normally don't prospect in football. You don't really prospect. Like, you know, every year in the draft, like, okay, Andrew Luck was the number one pick. That's who we're going to collect. You know, everybody knows out of the gate who's going to start, where they're going to go, what's going to happen. This year was totally, totally, totally different. You're actually seeing people prospecting on football rookies. I mean, even if it's not for this year, they're prospecting for next year or 2 years from now, like Matt Barkley. Matt Barkley may not get a snap this year. He probably won't. Yet his cards are selling very well because they know he very well could be the future of the Eagles franchise, and a lot of people hope he is. I mean, this doesn't really happen that often in football. You don't see this. You might actually, 2014 might bring the same thing. You might see a really deep draft with a lot of guys with a lot of potential. I mean, fifth, sixth rounder guys may come to the forefront, like handfuls of them. It may even happen this year. It's a really interesting time to be collecting football and, well, baseball cards is always interesting to me, but it's a really interesting time to be prospecting in football cards. It's really cool to watch.
Well, and from the words of Kelper7, Rich has ruined six pairs of sweatpants with Dobson boners.
Absolutely.
So that's in the chat right now. I didn't even know you wore sweatpants, man. It might be a little bit more.
Apparently, I do.
Right?
They know my break attire. I mean, when I'm ready to go, yeah, I got the sweatpants on and the full Patriots pajamas on. So I break all night and just go home and go to bed. So,
are they snap pants? So if you need to get in the shorts, you just snap them.
Yeah, they're breakaway pants. Absolutely. They got Tim Tebow pictures all over them. So
nice. Yeah, that's what I. How did you know I was wearing that? I'm a big Tebow guy. Lefty Express, right there. How you
making out on that wager we made, Doug?
Hey, well, game hasn't started yet. I mean, they're teaming
wasn't
up.
That for a case of wasn't that for a case of National Treasures, right?
I think it was
a box of Score Hobby. I think is what we. The black.
Hey, that sounds good. Hey, just to jump it back to the cards. You guys mentioned how well Panini does the high end, and they're about to come out with the Prime Hockey, which I've heard good things about. It. People who know about hockey cards, I think they actually do a decent job as well making the low end set, like a Score I'm thinking Panini Adrenaline, which I always bring up, and this was like one of the first sets they made, and I was just amazed at how many collectors got involved with that. They don't make it anymore because it was really expensive, the online game they had associated with it, but it just brought in all these young collectors who wanted to play the game. They wanted the codes to play the NBA game and the hockey game and stuff. So I think they do a decent job with some of the low-end sets. I just think some of their mid-tier stuff just is just wish-washy. It's all the same, like Rookies and Stars, which is coming out. Just doesn't, you know, those $75 boxes just don't, you know, hit the mark, I think, for most people.
I'm fully with you there, Ryan. Me and Doug, were we not just talking about this the other day, Doug? I mean,
I believe so.
I wish we had just a little bit of say in this. I get it. They need to make X amount of sets per year. I understand this. They have to. It's built into their, you know, expenses. It's built into their plan. These things are planned way ahead of time. You know, we might hear about it a few months ahead of time. They're designing this stuff way before then. I mean, this stuff is really far mapped out. I get it. They have to have X amount of releases per year. They have to have X amount of cards produced. They have to send it to X amount of countries. They have to have X amount of allocation, et cetera, et cetera. I get it. To me, I would rather see them cut out maybe three sets, maybe even four. They probably couldn't do it. I get it, because they're not going to sell as many cards. The numbers aren't going to be there. But make the margins a little higher on their end and put that money into, from the three sets, just cut the production completely out. The marquee basketballs of the world. And take that and put it into a product that is like on the brink of being an excellent product. Put the money into that product and make it that much better. And I feel like it's, you know, like you just said, the Rookies and Stars and the, you know, those middle $75 to $125 boxes. There's a lot of sets every year that are just like that. You know, you need to have them. You need to have one of them, but you don't need to have three or four or five of them.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You just don't. There's no need for it. There is zero need for it. That's a ton of base cards and a ton of cardboard that's just wasted, in my opinion. Take that money and put it into more content for everyone. I mean, we have a bunch of customers that don't even want the base card shipped. You know, I mean, they don't even want them. We're giving them to them. It's part of what they're buying them for. I mean, they're paid for it, and they don't want them. So what does that tell you? It tells me that you could take that money and put it more into autographs, more into patch cards, more into just overall content. Make a little bit more NT. It's not like it's not going to sell. Just make a few more cases. You know what I mean? Make a little bit longer of a product run. I don't care if it's the same guys. That's fine by me. Make the numbering a little bit higher. I guarantee they still sell. I guarantee it. They're still going to sell. The product's still going to sell out in minutes. The allocation's going to go crazy, especially if you up the product. You know, if you really put that much more effort into the overall look of the product. I mean, it's just, to me, that's what they need to do, you know?
Definitely. And we got Dan on the line. Dan, going down.
What up?
Going down, Dan.
What's up, Rich? What's up, Brian? What's up, Doug? You guys are all serious today. I come in, it's like serious talk.
Well, you just missed the
T-Bow's weapon.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was going on a little bit of a rant there. I'll.
Oh no, no. We all. That's what this. I mean, we thought about.
I'll take a couple shots and relax. I'll put my Tebow pajamas on. I'll be good to go.
Tebow onesie. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Where do you buy an adult onesie at? Does anybody have a link? I just want to buy one and just wear it one of these days.
Well, they got those Snuggies. They got infomercials for those. That's kind of like a onesie.
It's not the same thing, man. It's not the same
thing. Like
no, you need the footies.
Yeah, it's kind of like a poncho, the Snuggie.
I want like a Where's Waldo onesie, and I want to wear it around, and I want people to stare at me and post pictures on Twitter and stuff. I'm pretty sure
you could find an adult onesie. I can just Google search it here. We can make it happen.
They very much exist.
They do.
You know,
now we're talking good hobby talk.
You know, it's hard for me to wake up, and I got to put jeans on, I got to put a shirt on. It's like if I just had to put one article of clothing on, you know how much more time I would save in my day? I could do another break. You know?
Yep. Probably. Yeah, they got them at Target, dude.
Not for adults.
There you go. For adults.
That's awesome.
They got a skeleton one.
I got them made from Target. That's where I got my Tebow's made, was Target. I had to email them and everything.
Well, I wanted to move into, we were just talking about Panini NBA. We mentioned Marquee and stuff like that. Well, what do you guys think about, I'll try to throw my group breaker bias out the window. What do you think about Panini still pushing four more NBA products after NT? Because in my opinion, NT usually is the end-all, be-all for any product. NT, well, except for baseball because they threw it in the middle of the year, and they don't make that many baseball products. But NT football comes out, it's the last one. It's over. We work up to it. So now they have Intrigue, which is a mid-high-end product, Innovation, which is a mid-high-end product, Immaculate, which is a high-end product, and then there's these secret rumors of this product called Flawless. What's your take? Let's start with Dan, because Dan hasn't had a chance to talk here for a little while, as he just jumped on the line. What is your opinion about Panini pushing more NBA products out after NT?
All right. Check it. So,
oh God.
Let's just do a little story real quick. So last week I'm going through and I'm discounting some teams and what's called Elite Series. And I just figured, I'm like going through discounting. Figured it's like, you know, Elite Series, like what we all know and love, like 20 packs. You know, four hits. I figured this is the start of the 13-14 basketball year. And I go out and hang out with Doug, and he's like, dude, what are you doing? And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, your prices are insane. I'm like, why are they so expensive? And why are we doing a 7-box? Like, don't we usually do cases? And he's like, yeah, you do know this is a completely different product. I'm like, I don't know. Now I know.
Oh man,
that's great. So this is how lost I am with the 12-13, you know, product run. And then there's what, Intrigue?
Yes.
And there's another one, right?
Innovation.
There's Innovation. There's Flawless. There's Innovation. Magic, there's Dragon. There's Rainbow. No, I'm just kidding.
There's
four more releases.
The 13-14 basketball season starts in October. We're going to be well into the season before we get done with the 12-13. That's ridiculous. That's insane. I mean, how many products?
Right.
I mean, we're looking at like 30 products, 40 products, 180 products,
150
Yeah, I'm going to take the over on 180.
I get it. I mean, I understand. I mean, we gotta, you know, make most of the licensing and stuff like that. But for somebody who pays attention to the hobby and breaks pretty much every product, it's really bad. I don't even know what's coming out. Like, who can keep track? Who can do it?
I know you can't read. Do you want me to send you a release calendar in Braille? Or
if you could, that would be great.
Oh, man.
I'm kidding. No,
I mean, come on. There's a product coming out that's, like, going to end out the year that's, like, what, $1,200 a box?
Yeah. Supposedly, yeah.
So what are these products doing to NT? I mean, NT is through the roof right now.
Yeah, it's
you gotta expect that NT is probably gonna go down with these three releases coming out.
Well, I mean, it depends on the quality of the releases. Now, I may not be saying that. I may not be like, oh, maybe we're just forecasting right now. We're going, man, there's too many releases. Now, if they put it out and it's a stellar product, they're like, okay, there's a market for it. So we got to kind of play the wait-and-see approach with this and see what happens with it. But it's just crazy that it's still 12/13 coming out. That's just my opinion. But, Rich, what do you think?
I'm right there with you. We had talked about this before. I don't know what to make of it completely. Like, I understand they have no competition, zero, and they're taking advantage of it, and I don't blame them. I mean, if I were the only guy making, you know, if Topps was the only company making baseball cards, they would have a bunch more different sets, or they would just make a ton more of every product. You know what I mean? That's the way it is. I mean, they have the market cornered. They really do, and they're taking advantage of it. Upper Deck makes a basketball product. They don't have the NBA license. Topps has the MLB license. Topps puts out a good amount of baseball releases every year between them and Bowman. That's what they do. I'm going to rip it. I'm going to keep breaking it. I'm going to keep listing it. If Panini's putting out a product and it's, you know, it looks like it has something to offer, I'm going to sell it. I'm fully on board with what they do. I'm fully on board with them as a company. They have to have, you want to get that call, man?
I don't want to get that call.
Okay. You want me to hold on?
No, we're good.
Okay. We're good.
No, I think they have the reasons for it, and we will see the reasons for it. Like, intrigue, okay? The intrigue is, the name says it all. It's intriguing. They're putting a pack of, like, a player pack in each box. So, you know, you get to collect a certain player, a random player of like the top 20 or however many they solicited of the NBA players. Innovation has its place with this, the glass stained cards and everything else. And, Elite Series has its place. They're showing you their new technologies with each one of these sets, you know, that they're able to do this or they're able to do that. I hear you, what you're saying about, you know, the 13-14 season, and I've already had multiple customers ask me when the first release is going to be with the new rookies and everything. So, and I tell them
2018.
Yeah, 2018.
2017-18 season, we'll have the 13-14 rookies for you. It'll be a ten rookie class.
They should have made every set this year 12-14. Instead of 12-15, just call it 12-14 and just keep going.
That's an idea. In defense of Panini, though, this could have been a special year because last year, 12-13 could be a special year because it was the double rookie class. I guess one thing that I would be interested to know would be, okay, we have all these products coming out after an NT, including one that maybe cost over $1,000. Are these... So hypothetically, I actually think these products probably will do well. You guys should have no problem probably selling them. And on the secondary market, they're probably going to do well. So if they do well, is it the plan then to continue to make them with this 13-14 set? Because that would then, now if I'm kind of love National Treasures or, you know, what does this Flawless look like? And I think, Rich, you made a very good point. Is people coming into your store asking when I'm done with this double rookie class. When is it, I want to collect these new guys. I'm really excited about them. You know, Panini does a great job communicating, but that is one of the, like, such a crucial question, is when does NBA Hoops come out or Prestige or whatever the first set is? That should be at the forefront of, they should have a countdown clock on their blog or something, counting down to that. or somewhere to just let everybody know this is, hey, this is when the new, and maybe they don't know yet, but I mean, you know, how about November, you know, 2014 or whatever. So that was one question I'd want to know is that, okay, we're seeing all these additional mid or I guess more like really high-end products, even exceeding the high-end price tag. We're talking about four figures for a box and stuff. And that's like something like Oval Office, like Leaf Oval Office or something. That's what I think of when I'm thinking four figures for a box. So
right.
Is the intention to continue to make these cards into the future? They probably wouldn't admit to anything or say anything, but is this in addition to the release schedule? Are they axing things out? Are they cutting things out? I think, you know, I really like their low-end stuff. NBA Hoops is a great example. Not a product that's going to, you know, do anything for group breakers or even somebody like me, but it's got, the young kids love NBA Hoops. Like, if you open a box of NBA Hoops on YouTube, it'll probably be your highest viewed video. Because
yep.
There's so many young people who love, who, that's what they're exposed to. That's all they can afford. Sure, they love the National Treasure, but that's not what they're into. They love the NBA Hoops product, just as they love the Adrenaline product. And Score product, they make Score NBA. I mean, Score NBA would be very well. That's essentially what Hoops is. So maybe we should have one of the Panini guys on there, because this is a very interesting question. I think it affects you guys a lot as well. Is this now a change in the basketball landscape? Whereas I think high-end sets actually do well in basketball. You have in the past Exquisite, Ultimate Collection. FB Authentic used to be high-end. That's back when it cost $100, $125 a box. That was a lot of money for a box. I'm talking 10, 15 years ago. So they kind of are they now moving to, okay, so National Treasure is $500, $525 when it comes out. Are they now moving to this, okay, now, you know, National Treasure is going to be high-end. Oh, so we got this Flawless, which is going to be like, just a baller, you know. And, you know, what are we going to call this? You know, it exceeds high-end. So I guess that, is this a one-off set? Or is this something that they actually plan to continue or possibly even move to the NFL? You know, they've done that with Prism. You know, they started in basketball and move it over to the other sports. So that's actually interesting about these other sets that are now occurring. It could be just because of the double rookie class. That would be one guess that I would have. And they're not going to make these sets again, which would maybe make the demand that much more for these sets. Like if I were you guys, I would love to know that, well, this is the only year we plan to make Flawless. So shit, I might buy a case and just stick it in my closet. Might be worth three times as much as I paid for it, you know, in a couple of years. So
and
I don't know.
And it might go like what we talked about early in the show about the swinging, you know, Panini is a type of company that will take chances. They'll stick their neck out there. Maybe they're looking at all the product of Marquee that's sitting on people's shelves, all the momentum, all the Panini base, all the elite basketball. There's a lot more Crusades. It's not like necessarily selling the way that they thought. And then they see the numbers for NT and they're like, wow, this is, you know, we pre-sold it at $450 and now it's selling for $675. Let's make two more high-end releases and see what it does, and maybe that'll change their landscape for next year. So maybe that's what they're thinking is, let's just do this, you know, and maybe next year if Flawless takes off or if Immaculate, maybe Immaculate will be before NT next year because they want it to end on NT because NT is the staple. So maybe this is a kind of a trial and error. They know that they sold out of NT, but they still have all this, like I said, Marquee. So let's take a chance and put a couple more high-end sets and see what happens.
I think these products were already in the works before NT was released. I mean, they didn't know if NT was going to go up in value. So
Well, the thing with NT this year is that they didn't have it last year, so they
that's another reason why I know we talk about how many releases they've had this year, but they didn't have hardly any releases in 11-12 because of the lockout. So
right.
I look at it is that they're basically making up for the lack of releases they had in 11-12. With the double rookie class 12-13, they added probably 8 to 9 extra releases to compensate for the lack of, I mean, basically the money they lost in 11-12. So, I mean, that's why you see all these releases. I don't think next year with a single rookie class, I don't think you're going to see, I think there's probably going to be at least 15% less products maybe 20% less products next year. I think you're going to see a lot of these products being combined, like a lot of these subsets being combined into one product. But
right.
I don't think they're going to release everything. As for the real high end stuff,
I agree too.
I get what you're saying. Like, they're probably looking at National Treasures baseball. They're looking at National Treasures football, and now National Treasures basketball. Well, the one thing that those all have in common is that it's the highest end product that they make, and every single one of those products went up in value. So that's why they're probably like, hey, there may be a market. Let's not have the ceiling at National Treasures. Let's see how high we can take it. So let's go $1,200 for a box and see what happens. Now, if it doesn't fly, it doesn't fly. They just don't do it the next year. But I think you're seeing with every high-end release that they have, they're just seeing people just go crazy over it, and the secondary market go crazy over it. So I think that's why I think it's going to be more of a trial, and we'll see how it takes. I mean, that's a lot of money for one box of cards.
Yeah, they're going to have to guarantee like a Kobe or Kyrie in like every case or something, or both. I mean, well,
the thing that sucks about that though, it devalues the Kobe autos, and it devalues the Kyrie autos.
Yeah, I know.
It's just making more of them. So, I mean, that has to be concerning.
But, you know, it'd be cool if they put, like, a gigantic box, and it could be, like, a signed jersey in every box. That would be cool.
Or they can do a redemption for a signed jersey.
Right.
Yep. Panini Authentic has a ridiculous amount of really nice stuff, game used, autographed jerseys, cleats, batting gloves, this, that, and the other thing. Panini Authentic is loaded with stuff, and if you're at the NSCC, they had some of that on display. I mean, they could definitely pull something like that off for a redemption for, you know, full size this or full size that.
Definitely. Yeah, maybe that's what they're going to do with this. They got to do something to separate this from NT. They've got to have – they can't do like RPA. I mean, they're going to do some sort of RPA, but they got to do it differently. They got to leave the value of the NT RPA the way that it is, because, I mean, I pulled a freaking Brandon Knight RPA and sold for $100. I mean, it's like the RPAs are going crazy. I mean, we can't devalue what's already happened with NT. So hopefully – and I know Panini's smart, and they're looking at that. So we've got to give them the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, these sets hopefully should be good. I mean, with the Immaculate Collection, there's the book cards that have six Logo Mans. So, I mean, that's something that's unique. I mean, Logo Mans aren't unique, but a book Logo Man is unique. So that's something new.
Yeah, they're good.
So
they're going to be super hot.
Yeah, so they're doing their research on that stuff. They're seeing the patches. I mean, let's look at what cards sold the best this year for NBA. Rookie Prime Silhouettes from Preferred, absolutely nuts. The first run of the gold cards from Prism, nuts. Even some of the first run of Select gold cards were nuts. So they're looking at all this, and they're going to probably use a lot of that, what they've gotten from that, and put it in Flawless, I would think. So, you know, we shall see.
So what product has the glass cards? Is that Elite Series, Flawless?
Yep.
And Elite Series. Like, I expect that to really take off. If Leaf did the was it Trinity that had the glass cards?
Yes, it was.
I mean, that was an unlicensed product that really just went through the roof, and everybody loves those glass cards. So seeing a glass card with a team logo on it is going to be awesome. I think that product's definitely going to take off. I don't know about the other ones, but I'm feeling pretty good about Elite Series.
Yeah. I don't think there's autos on there, at least from what I've seen. I think it's just a glass card, so there could be auto versions that I haven't seen yet. I really can't find a checklist for Elite Series anywhere, even on Panini's site. So I don't know. I mean, I know that all the rookies are going to be in there, but I don't know what kind of vets or legends. I'm assuming it's obviously going to be Kobe, Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, because those are all Panini guys. But what kind of sort of, like, Chris Mullins are they going to have in there, or Clyde Drexler? I don't know what is coming out of that. So it's going to be interesting to see tomorrow.
I'm curious. Actually, I have a question on what you guys think in terms of the 12-13 overproduction and everything. I wonder how much of that is actually – I mean, we see what we see. We see what we break. We see what we see on Twitter. We see what we see on Facebook and everything else and on YouTube and whatnot and what Panini is promoting. How much of that has to do with the European market? I mean,
yeah.
I know for a fact that that's what drives secondary market pricing on basketball cards. And I don't mean just one basketball card or certain European players. I mean everybody, from Kyrie Irving all the way down to, you know, Deron Lamb. I mean, they're the guys – the European market is what pushes basketball sales. So
yep.
if the bigger buyers in Europe, the bigger distributors in Europe are calling, you know, if they're saying, hey, we need more 12-13 product, or are you guys going to do this? Are you guys going to do that? Blah, 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 blah. They're going to, you know, that's what they're going to do. They're going to provide for them as well. I mean, they buy a lot of product. I mean, a lot of product. They're breaking it out there. They're opening out there. The stuff. You know, and they buy it on eBay like crazy. So I wonder if that has to do with Panini deciding to show these newer style products at the end of 12-13 season and keeping it 12-13. I wonder if that has, you know, a lot of weight in that decision.
Could be, definitely. I know, yeah. I mean, and even Japan. I mean, some of these guys sell well in Japan and Korea and stuff. So that's one thing that basketball has over the other sports. I mean, baseball goes overseas a little bit, but basketball is pretty much a worldwide type of sport. So you have collectors all over the world collecting basketball that definitely, you know, influence sales. So, but speaking of Elite Series, we got a breakup for tomorrow, and I know, Rich, you have a breakup. I think you have a case breakup of Elite Series?
Yes, I have a master case listed figure team style.
Sweet. Yeah, so if you guys want to get into a case break of Elite Series, check out LatonSportsCards.com for that. And we got some in a mixer. We got some we're doing like a half caser of it tomorrow as well with some teams available. So if you guys want to check that. Wanted to get into – has anybody heard the latest on the Johnny Manziel saga? It's a little concerning the way the guy's been because he's supposed to hopefully be the number one guy in – 2014, so I'm looking a little forward. But the guy is acting like a complete jackass right now, all over the news in a negative fashion. Who knows if he's going to get banned from playing this year. He took $7,500 to sign helmets, which I was talking to Ryan earlier about this. $7,500 to him is like me putting a pop-up porn site on my site for $5. Saying, oh, I'm just going to make $5 a month, but I'm going to just pop up porn sites. It's like, why risk what you have going on for pennies? I mean, this guy literally, $7,500 is pennies to this guy because he's potentially going to be a first rounder, maybe first overall. I don't know now. Takes this deal rightfully knowing that he's going to affect his future. Have the guy videotape him signing these mini helmets. Like, come on. I mean, this guy's college educated. I know he's a young guy, and maybe he's using the money to go out and party or whatever. I mean, I've made some stupid decisions while I was 22. I mean, the drinking aside, I mean, they had some stories about him drinking. I mean, that's he's a college guy. Come on. But the $7,500 to sign some mini helmets is absolutely crazy. You know, I don't get it. I don't get it.
It makes me laugh. I think it's funny. I really do think it's funny. This guy's – what I don't understand is how he became a train wreck overnight, but that's beside
yeah.
the point. In defense, just real quick to get this out in the air, because when you say mini helmet, people think Leaf, and I do know that Leaf bought their helmets. They bought them. These were contracted. These were contracted to somebody else, just to get that out in the open. You know,
yeah,
as
definitely.
we all know, Brian Gray personally, the guy is a straight shooter. Just so everybody knows, Leaf is free and clear of this entire situation. Just to get that out in the open. But Yeah, I totally agree with you, Doug. For him to do this is just, it makes absolutely no sense. I mean, he might as well have just gone out and, you know, pulled an Aaron Hernandez. It's almost the same thing. It might as well, I mean, when you commit a crime in the NFL and it's punishable, or, you know, pre-NFL, NCAA, whatever it is, it's magnified. When you're on a player of that level, it is magnified 1,000-fold. And you have to be super, super careful. A lot of these guys even have handlers and mentors and people that look over them and watch and know every single thing they do. The fact that he even got away with doing this in the first place is mind-boggling. Like, who let him do this? It blows me away.
Yeah. And his parents in the media, too, supposedly on ESPN the magazine, his parents going after getting attention as well, saying that he needs therapy and all this other stuff. You know, I don't have any kids, but when I do have kids, if my son becomes a football star and the guy has problems off the field, the last thing I'm going to do is not defend my son. His parents are out there just throwing him under the bus. And it's just a weird situation for this guy who could potentially be the next Andrew Luck of rookie cards next year. So it's a little disconcerting. Hopefully he turns it around and he doesn't get banned this season, because if he gets banned this season, what do you think he's going to go and draft? Is he going to be fourth, fifth, sixth, maybe undrafted now? Nobody's going to want to take this chance.
He'll go first overall. He's a quarterback.
Yep. But he's still, it's
the name, man. It's, dude, Johnny Football. That guy will go, I mean, that guy will go first overall. I would make an argument if he didn't even play this year, if he went into the draft, he'd go first overall.
I don't care if the name was Johnny throw 5 touchdowns a game. It doesn't matter what your name is. It's how he's,
dude,
how he's carrying
he'll go
right now.
He'll go number one.
In defense of
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. New Jacksonville Jaguars. Johnny Football. He should just go there now. They need a quarterback fast. I mean, they should just let him go now. I mean, why wait?
Yeah, I mean, he should just be able to go and sign with the Jags right now.
Why not?
Show up to training camp. He's like, hey, Blaine Gabbert, sorry, man, we got Johnny Football.
Yeah, I might as well sell some tickets. That would sell a lot of tickets really quickly. Like, boom, gone.
You know,
in defense of the kid, though, if somehow I had won the Heisman Trophy after I was a freshman, I think my GPA after I was a freshman in college was like literally 0.8 GPA. So the highest is 4.0. I got a 0.8 because all I wanted to do was try to get girls and do things I wasn't even legally old enough to do yet and stuff and all this stuff. So I'm so glad that there wasn't cameras and ESPN and paparazzi and whoever and people trying to get me putting money. Oh, my God. If somebody put money in front of my face, is that it? Like, sign all these mini helmets? I would have done it for $5, even if I was twice as famous. And I've heard of, there's a very great wide receiver on the Cincinnati Bengals. I think we all could recognize who that is. I know guys that would sit out of the Quick Stop when he played in college, and he would do the same thing. They didn't have 1,000 mini helmets, but they had 5 or 10, and they'd give them $80 for it. And I know that I've heard that story countless times with college guys who get a little bit of money on the side. That it all speaks to a larger issue. The NCAA makes billions, and Texas A&M makes billions on these kids who just want $10,000 in their pocket. What college kid at 20 years old wouldn't want some extra money in their pocket, especially if you could do it by just signing your name or whatever it is, you know, and you're famous and you're kind of caught. And I could see how he could just get so caught up in this and your head could just literally explode. I mean, his ego's got to be through the roof. Every single girl wants to be with him. Every single guy wants to be like him or be his buddy. So, I, you know, these guys are so young. If this guy was an older guy, I don't know why he would get in trouble for signing his autograph, but, you know, just an older guy doing something stupid. But a guy who's more mature should at that point know better. I still think he's a kid. Obviously, what he does is dumb, and it jeopardizes his career in college at least, and will probably impact a little bit where he's drafted in the NFL draft. It's stupid, but I'm so glad that I wasn't in his position. I would have done something way stupider, like way dumber. So he's just such a young kid. So I hope it doesn't screw up his career. We all want to see him play. And Texas A&M is raking in millions off this kid, millions off this kid. And, I don't know if these guys should get paid because you pay the lacrosse players, but I don't know. It's a very complicated situation, but he is a real young guy. And so just to kind of stick up for him, that's the one thing I would mention. That thank God there wasn't a camera in my face at 20 years old. I got 0.8 GPA.
The point I wanted to make about your first round, him still going, there was a guy in 2002 that averaged 5.6 yards a carry on 222 rushes from Ohio State by the name of Maurice Claret that did not get drafted.
Right. Yeah, he hired an agent while he was still in college. I mean that's a big no no. Johnny Manziel got caught doing something that a bunch of other kids have done in college and didn't get caught. Not many kids hire agents.
Right.
I mean, Maurice Claret did like the cardinal sin for a college athlete.
They should let him have agents, though.
He had character issues even before that. So
yeah.
I mean, it's hard to compare the Maurice Claret deal to the Johnny Manziel deal. I don't know. I still think if he doesn't play this year, he's still the number one pick in the draft. Or that kid Clowney.
First round. I don't think he's. I mean, he's not Andrew Luck. I mean, Andrew Luck.
Yeah,
strong arm, can move everything. This kid's more.
He's gonna put people in the seats.
He will.
Just based on the year he had and based on the Heisman Trophy, especially if he went to a struggling team, a team that didn't really draw anyway, he would definitely make a difference. Probably not make a difference in record, but definitely make a difference at the front gate. I think he would still be the number one pick.
All right, I'll look bet something here. I'm saying second round for Johnny Manziel when he comes out. If you want to take that bet, I'm saying second round. He's not going to make it. He's not going to get drafted in the first round.
Believe it or not, I think this whole football season is going to dictate a lot. Well, besides the obvious of who gets the first pick or whatever, or what teams' needs are, but you're going to see a lot more of the option. You're going to see a whole lot more of the option. And that's, you're going to see more of these athletes coming out that run, quarterbacks that run. And that's going to dictate where they get drafted. I think this year you're going to see a whole lot more option in pistol formations, and you're going to see if they work or not. You're going to see different systems being brought to the forefront. And that's Johnny Manziel's, that's his bread and butter, that little option play with the slanting tight end across the middle, and he's going to run around the end. And it works in the NFL, and people see it work. They're going to draft a style quarterback that fits that scheme, and they're going to do what works until somebody figures out how to stop it.
I think you're absolutely right, Rich. I think I think you're absolutely right. I think you're going to see more of that option quarterback style, and I think it is going to work in the NFL for a while. The one thing it's going to do, though, it's going to shorten the careers of all these quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
Because you cannot run that option and have a career like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees where it's over a decade long. You're going to see a revolving door around all these option quarterbacks who get their knees blown out or get too many concussions. So you're going to see a lot more of these college quarterbacks come out running the option because it works in the NFL, And there's a bunch of guys who've been in the league for 4 years who are basically moving out of the league because they can't play anymore.
The first time Johnny Manziel goes around the end and gets hit by a Cordy Glenn going full speed into his side, that's going to be the end of Johnny Manziel. The kid is skin and bones. He is small. Maybe he's tough. Whatever it is, maybe his bones are flexible. I don't know what it is about him that makes him special and makes him be able to get back up. But I'm telling you right now, in terms of a system quarterback, and they devise a system that is an option or a pistol-type formation, and a defense comes out to stop it until somebody actually defends it. I mean, the option play is getting 5-plus yards all the time. That's off the top of my head, but every time I see the damn play run, it's the same thing. Russell Wilson goes around the edge, he gets 5-6 yards, he dives forward, he slides, whatever he does, and then they throw a little 5-yard pass, it's a first down. Two easy, simple plays. It almost goes, call me crazy, but it goes back to Vince Lombardi. Am I wrong? The guy had what, 5 plays? 6 plays? They just ran the same play over and over and over again. Nobody could stop it because everybody did exactly what they were told. I mean, everybody carried out the play perfectly. The Vince Lombardi wasn't like a master strategist or anything, or strategist or whatever you want to call it. He wasn't that kind of coach. He just drilled it into his players' brains how to run like a handful of plays. That's it. That's all they had. But they were unstoppable. It's the same thing with the option. It's the exact same thing. It's just a play that if it's done correctly, it's unstoppable. It will produce positive yardage every time.
I got a question. Who's Cordy Glenn?
Are you serious?
I'm joking, yeah. Actually, I had to do a little Wikipedia on him. He was drafted last year by the Buffalo Bills. But,
Big boy.
I thought it was a Patriot homer pick on there.
No. Well, okay, fine. Then the first time he gets hit by Brandon Spikes, whatever you want to call it.
That's the quote. And to go back to Manziel, you know what the ironic thing about Manziel is? He's a business major.
Hey, he made a business decision.
Yeah, he's making business moves already, man. He's working on that major.
He can write a paper about it and get an A, maybe.
This whole question, Doug, stems back to a huge conversation that we probably don't have time for, but it's ongoing as we speak, and Ryan touched on it perfectly, is that it all goes back to these guys getting paid. NCAA is making a fortune. If you think the NFL and the MLB and everybody is making money, just take a look into what NCAA – just go to a Penn State game. Actually, I dare you to try to get tickets to a Penn State game. Good luck. They don't even have a Johnny Manziel. They don't have it. But yet, the place is sold out. It's sold out every single game. Every single game. They have such a huge alumni and a huge following. These guys, they charge a fortune to get into these games. It's bigger than NFL games. A lot of colleges don't have that. There are a lot of colleges out there, they don't have that big of a following. But in Texas and the Penn States of the world and the Notre Dames of the world, they don't even have these big-name players, and yet they have no problem selling out every single home game. And they make a killing in licensing and merchandising and everything else. Merchandising. They give no money to these players. None. $0 gets – it doesn't trickle down anywhere. It all goes to the top. It goes to the school. It goes to the NCAA, the head offices. That's it. So, that's a huge topic. That's what it all boils down to, is if Johnny Manziel was getting paid, would he have just gone out and been like, yeah, I'm going to sign helmets for this amount of money? I mean, he wouldn't have needed it. He wouldn't have needed the money. He would have already been getting paid, and there would have been rules in place to say, okay, if we're going to pay you, you can't do this, you can't do that. you know?
So. Well, and you know, and this is, a, yeah, you're right, because I could go on forever about this, but it all kind of stemmed. If you want to look at the college players not getting paid, the Fab Five back in Michigan, that was the whole thing of how they got started. They were walking around with no money in their pocket, nothing. They had no money. And they see people wearing Michigan. Well, they basically started the long shorts. There was people modeling, you know, shirts and clothes and stuff after them. And they, I mean, if you look at the profit margin on Michigan gear that year, and they're like sitting there eating bologna. And, you know, Juwan Howard and Chris Webber are like, come on, man. Like, I mean, you guys are making all this money and we're sitting back just broke as a joke. So, I mean, I could see where these college players look at the stadium being filled and they're like, they're coming to see me. Why can't I have a piece of it? And it's such a cash cow and the athletes don't get any of it. Besides, you know, they obviously get promoted to the NFL and that's when they get paid. But, I mean, it all started with the Fab Five when they started marketing colleges. And, I mean, to this day, that was probably one of the biggest – I remember going to Great America here on the West Coast and – I don't know if you ever remember that little basketball game. You guys probably have it at your fairs where you shoot a hoop and you get a ball. Everybody wanted the Michigan ball. Everybody wanted the Michigan ball. And that's in California. I mean, I can only imagine nationwide. I mean, that's what was going on. People wanted Michigan gear back then. I wasn't a teenager during those times. I was more like in middle school or whatnot. But if I was in high school, I'd probably be sporting a freaking Michigan. I'd probably be wearing it because it was so popular back then.
Well, they changed the style of basketball. Like literally, like people, the way I mean, they were the first ones to start doing those super long shorts.
Right.
Like they literally changed the fashion of basketball. Because those were the first guys. They had like the super long shorts, and everybody wanted the super long shorts if you're on the court. Right. So that
yeah,
means
it would be like
Jalen Rose.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. No more nut huggers. No more smuggling plums. You know, it was back to wearing. You know, a little step up from a. What do you call those? Those little capri. It was like a step up from a capri. It was in the middle of capri and in the middle of a nut hugger. You know, it was kind of, you know, it started a fashion trend. Now nobody wears the nut huggers anymore. They need to do a throwback game where guys just run around wearing those. Maybe not. Maybe they shouldn't. But.
It's nowhere close to my Tebow pajamas, but that's beside the point.
Well, I mean, what's next on the docket? I wanted to talk a little bit about the Upper Deck case breaker agreement, where they're basically only allowing like two case breakers to break their products. So I wanted to see your guys' take on that. Obviously, you're on the other side of the coin, Rich, where you can break because you have a shop. To give you guys a little bit of a background of what's going on with Upper Deck is they're rolling out a case breaker program, which will allow people to break their products, apparently, which is something new to me, I guess. They basically called us up and said, hey, you want to be part of this? They reached out to us, say, hey, you want to be part of this program? And we said, yeah, we break a few exquisite products and whatnot, and maybe some SPX every once in a while. You know, it'd be great to go ahead and buy your products. And they go, okay, great. Well, you need a shop. And so I told them no, and that was the end of the conversation. So I know Ryan, it was like, no, you want to pay for my shop. That's who you want, you know, shell out $3,000.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's something. I know, Ryan, you put a little post of the agreement. I don't know exactly what it said, but wasn't it kind of like snarky? Like, we want to be innovative, but yet we don't want to sell to everybody?
Yeah, I got the press release in the email, and I was reading it, and I was like, I knew from conversations I had with you and just knowing their overall business, they weren't going to open this up to anybody and everybody. But it's so short-sighted. In the last 6 months, I've been into card stores in California, Iowa, Nebraska, and Illinois, okay? First of all, I don't even remember seeing it, except in Nebraska, I saw unopened Upper Deck products, okay? And all the other stores, and some of the card shops, they didn't even have new product. It's, you know, really old type store. And I had a store for a couple of years, kind of in the advent of the internet and forums and stuff. And they were even doing some breaks on some forums back in those days that I got involved with. The last thing I was concerned about when I was running my store was group breakers online taking my business. Like, that was a lot. If anything, it could help me because it could maybe widen the base, get more people involved, get more money flowing so these guys would do some stuff online, and then they'll come into my store and maybe buy a box, buy some single, buy some supplies, whatever it is. It actually, I think it actually gets people more involved, and it's a younger demographic as well, which also helps. The much younger demographic who's probably buying into these group breaks by and large. So it just, it's so short-sighted on Upper Deck's part. I mean, it's so dumb. First, it really frustrates me when I saw the email. I was like, this is so dumb. Like, instead of closing off a whole segment, which would be opening up cases upon cases of your product, especially the hockey and some of the basketball, you guys would be ripping through cases of this stuff, at least one usually, of maybe every product, possibly more. Partner up with a hobby shop in your area. Partner up with somebody. Get some deals going on. Get some agreements going on. You know, maybe the shop can help sell your spots and they get a cut of it. Don't close off a section of the market, especially that one thriving in these group breakers. Dig your head in the sand, do a little research, figure out which group breakers are legit and which are good and have good reputation. Wouldn't take that long to figure that out. So that's just one. It's really frustrating when they're basically stagnating off like a whole segment of the industry. Oh, you can't sell it unless you want to go broke and open a card store. It's like really? Like, especially in California, especially asking you guys in California, I mean, I know how expensive retail rent is. But obviously, if this type of stuff really gets me worked out when it just seems like there's a market. Sell to these guys who are reputable. If I open sportscardradio.group, don't sell to me until I've proven myself. But sell to guys who've been doing it for a year, 6 months, 2 years, whatever it is. Just sniff them out. Do a little research and sell to these guys and get more people involved in the hobby. Younger people, because that's who's doing these group breaks. And barely maybe one or two of these shops that I've been into, it seemed like they could handle a group break situation. You know, so there's very few people like Rich who can do both and who are opening these products. You know, have the kind of the younger demographic probably coming to the store and also the younger demographic coming online. Very few shops like that, actually. So it frustrates me. So I'm done talking about it. I'll let you guys who are actually on that side of the business talk about it.
Well, you know, it's I kind of compare it to, you know, obviously if Topps was the one that said, let's face it. I mean, in my opinion right now, Upper Deck is fourth. I mean, I'm putting them behind Leaf at this point. So you got Topps, Panini, Leaf, and then Upper Deck. I mean, they were king in 2000 or 90 and 89, blah, blah, Griffey, blah, blah. They started a lot of the trends, but losing the licenses and putting out some of these products with no players on them. And I mean, the products have gone down. Now, there's a few products that, yeah, I'd like to, you know, maybe break Exquisite Basketball. I mean, granted, it's college, and it's very difficult at times to figure out what the player is and what team it goes to and stuff like that. But if Topps approached us and said, you know what, we will not sell you the product until you get a shop, that would be in consideration. My opinion right now with them is they don't have the ground to stand on to say, like, hey, you can't break our products. We're not going to sell to you. Okay, well, I'm just not going to buy your product then. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not going to lose any sleep over not breaking the Upper Deck. I'll buy the occasional box from VA Card World. I'll buy the occasional box from my local card store to throw in mixers just to have a variety for people that join our breaks. It's kind of like if Taco Bell said I only have to drive a black car through their drive-thru, I'd probably get a black car because I like Taco Bell. Now, if Arby's told me that I have to have a black car, I'm not going to Arby's anymore. I'm just not going to eat Arby's. If I have to have a black car that goes through the drive-thru, I'm not getting any roast beef and cheddar. We'll go right to Taco Bell.
That's a bold move, man, because roast beef and cheddar is delicious. That may make me go get a black car. This better not be serious. You better be making this up.
Yeah, I mean, Taco Bell is a staple in my life. I mean, if they pull that on me and said like only motorcycles through the drive-thru, I'm getting a motorcycle. I mean, because that's a staple part of my diet. So. But, you know, that's what I compare it to Upper Deck. I just, well, you're not going to get my money then. You're not going to get the advertising. When he called me, I even told him, the guy from Upper Deck, whatever his name was, I told him that, you know, you could even sell it to us at they're all about their margins. That's what it is. The Upper Deck margins are a lot higher than other companies. They make more points per box, which keeps their diamond dealers happy, which I understand. But if you sold to me and I signed an agreement that I will, A, never sell boxes online, which we don't anyway, and, B, if you sold it to me at $30 a box more than these guys, I'd still probably be a buyer. And you'd be protecting your diamond dealers. So come up with a better idea of how you could sell group breakers your products and still protect your diamond dealers. Don't shut out a whole portion of the market. That's my take on it.
Well, so,
I'll throw in my two cents here. oh, boy. Oh, man. Let's see here. We've got an interesting thing on our hands here in the shop. First off, we had to wait, 90 days? 3 months. 3 months since I opened my doors. Then I was a certified diamond dealer. This is already after being, I mean, we were still pretty new in terms of case breaking and everything. We're still going through part of the learning curve. We had a good following. We had a solid following. We were growing at a rapid rate at this point. Yet we still weren't even allowed to carry Upper Deck product in our shop. So in order for me to break it, I had to buy it from, you know, Blowout or Damon Adams. So it wasn't exactly the easiest thing for me to do. And I, you know, we were growing, so we were constantly getting customers saying, hey, can you get Upper Deck this, Upper Deck that? And I was like, well, you know, I can, but it's kind of a pain and this and that. We got to wait for this, wait for that. Now we're a certified diamond dealer. Woo! And it's nothing's different. Nothing's changed. I can get stuff on release day. That's basically what had happened. I waited 3 months to get stuff on release day. I can do pre-sales or pre-buys of the product. What we have here, I kind of have two businesses in one. We have our online business that does box and case breaks, and we do single boxes, et cetera, supplies and whatnot through our online business. We also have our shop, which sells single boxes, singles, supplies, everything else. They're both in the same building. They're both under the same company name. Yet, you can't see my hobby shop on Twitter. You can't see my hobby shop on Facebook. You can't see it, you know, literally like the daily happenings in the hobby shop. People don't see that stuff. They see LaytonSportsCards.com this, LaytonSportsCards.com that. We're breaking this, we're breaking that. So I reached out to these guys and I said, look, I understand I'm already a certified diamond dealer. I can do this, that, and the other thing. But if you're going to promote said case breakers, you know, if you're going to say these people are approved, can I please get on this list? I've heard nothing back. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. So, you know, maybe they don't see me as a reputable breaker or big enough or small enough. I don't know what the deal is. But needless to say, I've worked, you guys very well know, I've worked extremely hard to get to where we are. And to just get my name on a list, you'd think it'd be a lot easier than it is, but apparently it isn't. So that's my two cents on it.
Yeah, and I mean, what's your percentage, you would say, Upper Deck? In the store, breaks out of the question. Just in the store sales, what are your percentage of Upper Deck compared to the other companies?
It's not even close. Not even remotely close.
Like 2%?
Yeah. 3 to 5%. I mean, I get, you know, some of the lower end Upper Deck does okay with packs and stuff like that. And some of the, you know, once in a while I'll sell a box of Exquisite. If I have 2011 or 2012 Exquisite or some Exquisite basketball, some of that will sell. You know, the SPs, the SPXs, they always usually do pretty well. I'll sell a few boxes of each. Once it's been out for, you know, 2 weeks, nobody comes back for it.
you know, it's hard to go backwards on the product unless we're breaking it online. That's the only way I'll go backwards on Upper Deck. I can't order boxes of 2011 SPX. It just sits, you know. I just look at it unless we broke it. So, you know, I could do more with their products. Some of their products are very good, and the margins are good. And like you said, they want to support the diamond dealers and everything else. But, you know, where does that leave? I mean, like Ryan said, we're kind of stuck in this weird middle area. Like, we're this hybrid that, you know, we're a half, you know, we started doing boxing case breaks and then we turned into a hobby shop. But now, you know, we're both. So they don't know really how to handle us. So I guess some people just decided to ignore us instead of trying to figure out how to handle the situation. I don't really understand what you know, where the what to do, what to say, who to talk to. We've talked to our distributors and everybody else. There's people that have been trying to make phone calls for us and everything else, but we've gotten almost nowhere. I don't know what else to really do at this point. I'm still left with a really sour taste in my mouth over the missing case hits over Exquisite Football. We broke 3 cases on release day. 2 of the cases were missing 2 case hits. I have a back-and-forth email with them stating what had happened. They asked me to do this, that, and the other thing, jump through all these hoops and list this product, list the cards that we pulled, the numbering, the names, everything else. And we did that. And then they said, okay, well, send us back 2 out of the 3 RPAs from each case, and we'll send you your missing cases. And
wow.
I said, well, yeah. I said, well, first off, we don't have the cards. We broke them and sent them to the customers. Second off, why would I send you RPAs that weren't missing? They wanted cards back that weren't missing to replace missing cards. And then I pretty much...
Why can't you watch the video? Couldn't they just watch the video of the break and see it all right there? I mean,
yeah, they could watch the video. They could do whatever they wanted. They could have done – I told them all of this. I told them all of this. I said, look, I could give you 20 customer testimonies on who I am and what I do. You can see my videos on YouTube. You can see them on Ustream. We did it live, this, that, and the other thing, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't good enough. And, you know, I said, I can't send you these cards. I don't know how to tell you this, but – you're also asking for cards we weren't missing. We weren't missing these cards. Like, I don't – like, where's the customer service in that? You're asking back for cards that we weren't missing to get missing cards? It makes just no sense. And then from pretty much from then on in, I gave up on Upper Deck. I just – they lost me at that point.
Well, we got about 8 minutes. There's a few things I wanted to go over. I did promise a free giveaway, so I do want to give away a $30 gift card for our site. What you got to do, first of all, you got to call in 347-855-8815. I want you to go on Sports Card Radio, the 2013 Topps Football Checklist, and I want you to name the rookie premier autograph that's on the picture. Name the guy. So rookie premier autograph, which guy are we looking at? It's, you know, one of 34 guys. So the first person to call in and name that will get a $30 gift card on mojobreak.com to spend accordingly, whatever you want to get into. What I did want to talk about, and we talked about this in earlier shows, is how to get the kids in the hobby. Let's just talk about this on the air. I'm thinking about doing a break for kids because there is cards for kids, right? But they don't get any hits. Let's face it, we're sending them base cards. Is there a way we can age verify? They got to be like 16 and under or something. Age verify these kids. Now, I know there's going to be some adults that are just going to make fake accounts and stuff, so we need to age verify these kids. Maybe we make them make a video on YouTube or something, say, I want in on this free break. We do a product or two. Me and you, Mojo Break, LeightonSportsCards.com. We could even, you know, Ryan can get some press on it, and we can promote it and get like a free break that there's like – X amount of hits guaranteed, and get some hits in these kids' hands because this is the future. So, I mean, what do you think?
I would love that. That would be great. We have in the shop, we have a steady following of kids that come in once a week, every week, on the money, like clockwork. And they come in and they buy their packs of Pinnacle Baseball. Sometimes we have some triple play. Pinnacle Triple Play. They buy that. They love those lower-end cards. They love Allen and Ginther. They think it's fun. You know, they get to study and everything. They get to see, like, all these presidents and this guy and that guy. The other big thing that Panini, actually, my wife's nephew, I don't know what that means, second cousin to me or whatever, my wife's nephew, we took him to the arcade. And he went and he played some skee ball and he got some points. And what did he do? He went up, he changed his points, and he got a Panini sticker album for hockey. I thought that was awesome. I didn't tell him what to get or anything else. But the sticker albums, that's one, definitely one big thing the kids love. And it seems to be pulling them closer into collecting cards and the hobby. So that's a good gateway that they already have in place.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I just think, like, maybe we can make a YouTube video so it's not, you know, some dude who's 45 years old who makes a fake Facebook account that he's a kid. Because, you know, I mean, I give people a benefit of the doubt, but there's always a few sour apples. So maybe we can make a YouTube video, say, hey, I want it on this free break. And, you know, we put everybody that makes a video into the randomizer. It's 32 spots, whatever. You know, if we do a football product, maybe we could do Elite or maybe a mixture of, like, Elite and, you know, Prestige or something. Maybe do a couple boxes. Maybe we do one box through our video and then one box through your video for the same break or some sorts and ship them out to the kids, man. I just think that would be, you know, we got to think about the future and, you know, give them something other to do than playing Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto is great. Madden's great.
Oh, well, I'm going to be playing Grand Theft Auto. What are you talking about, kids? I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm 100% on board with that. I'll do any. I mean, we sponsor a little league team and you know, a little t-ball team. They came in and gave us a picture, you know, to hang on the wall and everything else. And you know, I'm a sucker for stuff like that. You know, I played in little league and t-ball and baseball and high school baseball, college baseball. I went up all through the ranks, you know, locally. So, you know, I did everything I could. I sponsored, you know, I bought a pennant. I bought this. I bought a spot on the outfield wall for a business and everything else. So, you know, I do everything I can locally. But I hear what you're saying. I'd love to reach out on a bigger level, whether it be through, you know, our websites or YouTube or Ustream or however it needs to be. You know, we'll definitely have to sit down and talk about this. But whatever we can figure out to get kids more involved in group breaks and case breaks and just card collecting in general. I'm 100% on board with that, man.
All right, looks like we got a winner. 305.
No, it's not. I'm gonna take a shot at Kenny Stills.
It was not Kenny Stills.
Do I get a second chance? Like, go ahead.
I'll give you the answer, and I'll give you. You got a winner, Marcus Wheaton.
Sweet.
Under the 2013 rookie premier autographs on sportscardradio.com.
Can I split it with Kelper? Yeah, it's Trevor.
Okay. Yeah, why don't you guys – you know what? We'll split a spot tomorrow in our baseball random for you guys.
Sweet. Thank you guys so much.
No problem, man. Thanks, Trevor. And thank you guys. Thank you for coming in the chat and talking about the show and stuff. We really appreciate it, man.
Oh, thank you. Have a nice night.
All right, Trevor. Take care, man.
Who was that? I couldn't hear.
Trevor G. Usually
cool.
In the chat under Miami or Miami Wade fan, I think, usually in the room. So
you need some sound effects when they don't get the trivia question right. Something like,
wah, wah. Well, we do have, like, a winner sound. We have this one, the staple of the show.
Yo, came up.
That one. So nice. It looks like we're down to a minute left. So, you know, check out LaytonSportsCards.com, and let me pull up your schedule here and see what you got going tomorrow, because I know I'll be getting into something. As far as your schedule, my internet's slow. We got pick your team on Topps Football Jumbo. You got Panini's and Rookies and Stars, pick your team, and an Elite Series. So all three major releases tomorrow, you can go ahead and get in. And is that code still valid for Sports Card Live?
It is still valid, 10% off, all capital letters. Sports, I think it's, is it Sports Card Live or Sports Card Live?
I believe so, yeah. All sports, one word.
Yep, all one word, all capital letters. That'll get you 10% off on the website. The coupon's going to expire soon. We're going to come up with a new one, so definitely want to use it before it goes away.
Definitely. And for our stuff, we got Rookies and Stars at 10 a.m. We got Elite Series. We got a double case of 2013 Finest, 2013 Momentum. We got a Boom NBA, which has the sought-after NT. We got Gold Standard Elite Series. It's a 9-box. And we got that double case that we just gave a free spot in. Of it's 2013 Inception and 2007 Upper Deck Ultimate. So it's like 88 hits. With the Ultimate stuff, I know we just trashed on Upper Deck, but the Ultimate stuff has the light still, and there's some Cal Ripken. See, now I turn into a salesman, right, when I'm trying to push my own sound. Now I love
them. Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, but so check that out, and it looks like we literally have 5 seconds, so I'm going to go ahead and hit the outro. Check out sportscardradio.com, mojobreak.com, leightonsportscards.com, and we are out.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by sportscardradio.com, mojobreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.